اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك، وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظماء. اللهم إني أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يده، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك، فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي، يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك، فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجود عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله، ولا شبيه يشاكله، ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء، وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي، ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه، ولا يغلق بابه، ولا يرد سائله، ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين، وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين وصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك وفي بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المهم به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآل محمد وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجلوه وبضر تكشفوه ونصر تعزوه وسلطان حق تظهروه ورحمة منك تجللناها وعافية منك تلبسناها رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Apologies. The switch was off. Let's recite another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraja. Tonight what we'd like to discuss is a hadith that we have from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi in regards to the Qur'an, and try to see the application of it within our communities. The hadith goes along the lines of من قرأ القرآن وهو شاب مؤمن اختلط القرآن بلحمه ودمه. Whoever recites the Qur'an while they are shab, they are young, and mu'min, they believe. اختلط القرآن, the Qur'an will get mixed, بلحمه, with their flesh, ودمه, and their blood. It becomes part of them. Along with all of the emphasis we find in the Qur'an and in hadith, in regards to the importance of our connection with the Qur'an, that connection with the Qur'an needs to start when we are younger. What I mean by that is, as a community, we should create an environment that Qur'an is loved, is read, is discussed by our youth. Because why do we want to do that? What is the objective? What are we trying to accomplish? Is it important to see them reciting the Qur'an with proper, for instance, Arabic pronunciation? Is that the goal? No, that isn't the goal. We're not trying to accomplish that. Although that's important, it's good, it has its effects, but that's not the goal. So if we have a community that the youth are able to read the Qur'an in that way, that's not necessarily what we're looking for. Are we looking to find more people that have memorized the Qur'an from amongst the youth? Is that the goal? No, that's not the goal. Although that's a good thing. That can be one of the techniques, one of the measures taken to get to the goal we're looking at. But it's not the goal. This is important for us to note. If we have schools, if we have Sunday schools, if we have full-time schools, in those schools, our youth learn the recitation and memorize some chapters or some juz or the entirety of the Holy Quran. If that's the extent of it, then that's not what we're looking for. We haven't accomplished much. We haven't gotten to the goal that the Prophet has laid out here. The goal is to help the next generation develop with the Qur'an, as the hadith says, such that the Qur'an becomes part of them. So if you have someone in their below 10 that they've read the Qur'an from cover to cover, but they don't like the Qur'an, that's counterproductive. If we have youth that know how to read it but don't like to read it, that is something wrong has happened. Not only have we not reached our objective, we have actually digressed. We have moved away from it. We should not identify the point to be simply getting to the superficial aspect of the Qur'an. If we set those as our goals, we will end up digressing. That's why we're pinpointing this and we're emphasizing on it. If it's important that the child or the teen is able to recite proper with proper Arabic pronunciation, then we're going to push them and press them to do that. In the process, they're not going to like to read the Quran, although they know how to do it and they may have learned it. We may accomplish that goal we had in our mind. We should change that. That shouldn't be our goal. If we're so adamant about them memorizing the Quran, we pressure them, we accomplish what we set out to accomplish. Yeah, they memorized half of the Quran, all of the Quran, a few chapters of the Quran. But did it mix into their flesh and blood? No, they don't like the Quran. We see that, unfortunately. I know people who memorized the Quran and they had awards and so on and so forth, and they became very westernized. While they had everything established in Muslim countries, there was no need for them, no benefit for them materially or otherwise to come to the West. They came and settled in the West because they liked it better. That's called westernization. If you have Muslim countries that all your needs are taken care of, and why would you want to come here? If you want to come here and teach Quran to people, that's fine, but it's clear through their conduct that that's not the case. They were drawn by the glamour of the West. They were drawn by what the Quran condemns. They developed this liking towards Western lifestyle, Western glamour, Western capitalism. What's the benefit of that? That's not the goal. So it's important for us to not set those as our goals. Rather, it is important for us to identify the goal properly, which is, as the Prophet says, من قرأ القرآن وهو شاب مؤمن اختلط القرآن بلحمه ودمه. If you have a youth, shab, okay, want in their youth, if we teach them Quran in their when they're 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 even, that's not the years that the Prophet is talking about. He's talking about the early stages of bulugh, 13, 14, 15, 16, those ages. We want them to qara al-Quran. They pick up the Quran on their own, and with their iman, their belief in it, read it. That's what the goal is. And it says, if that young man or woman in their teens, if they read the Quran with that iman that they have, the belief, the faith they have, this starts mixing into their flesh and their blood. It starts forming their character. So we want to take measures that will enable a youth of that age to want to pick up the Quran and read it and benefit from it. How do we do this? What are we supposed to do? Let's start with what we're not supposed to do. What we're not supposed to do is to force children into Quran classes that they don't want to go. We need to, one of the things we, just to clear this one up, because we're going to get to what we need to do, this doesn't mean we shouldn't have Quran classes, or we should have Quran classes. But forcing a child into Quran classes is what we're saying should not be the case. The parents want to pressure the child, force them to go. Don't do that to your child. It at least is not going to be beneficial. Talk to them, tell them of the good in it and how the Prophet has said, not in a forceful way again, not in a way that, oh, it's good, you better decide to go, otherwise you know. No, not that way. Just to explain, you know, there's this Quran class, would you like to attend? He says, no, leave them. Leave him. Leave her. Next time there's an opportunity, maybe bring it up, depending on how you feel. Let them see if they want to go, if they want to go, check it out. If they don't want to go to the Quran class, don't push them. It's age 9, 10, 11. Below that age, when the so-called Sunday schools. Islam isn't a type of discipline, a type of knowledge, a type of study that you can teach a person the way you do your secular studies. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. لا إكراه في الدين. We're not trying to cram information. We're trying to get that person to willingly read the Quran. It says, من قرأ القرآن وهو شاب مؤمن. They picked it up on their own and they read it. Not that their dad is sitting there saying, read it with ikrah, with disgust. Like, oh, I have to do this again. They made me do this, sitting down, reading that. What type of اختلط القرآن بلحمه ودمه is that going to have? They have to pick it up and read it themselves. So forcing a child into Quran classes, that's not forcing in general to sit down and study the Quran, read the Quran, listen to tafsir of the Quran, listen to recitation of the Quran, not good, not right. It will not have the desired effects. They may learn how to read it, they may be familiar with it, but that type of familiarity with the Quran is not a good one, because they also developed a distaste. They don't like it. There's a dislike. So that's a big no-no that we shouldn't have. What should we have? Yeah, we should have classes. When we have classes, the relationship between the teachers and the institutions that teach those classes with the parents first should be having this conversation and tell them, look, if the child doesn't feel like coming, don't force them. If one session they came, they liked it, next one they're lazy, they don't want to come, try to help them, you know, say a few times, try to say, you know, it's good, this, that, the other. Encourage them, basically. If that doesn't work, they don't want it, they still don't want it, don't push them to come. Say, oh, well, you didn't feel like coming, I didn't bring them. Next time, if they want to come, that's one thing that they need to do in terms of communicating with the parents. The other thing is with the child, see for yourself as teachers who teach the Quran. You have to see, is a child into it? Is a child wanting to learn? What can I do to make this a desirable experience? What can I do that the child feels satisfaction when they come to that session? Take measures. Don't go off course and change the whole session into something completely different. But try to do things in a way where it helps the child get interested, want to come again, create that type of an environment. We need to generally do that with our classes for the youngsters. These are not adults. Adults even, they prefer speakers that entertain them. Now you want to send this child to a teacher that is not entertaining at all, and you expect them to sit there and enjoy that class? Well, they're not going to enjoy that. Teachers who want to get involved in this, they have to find ways of making that experience a pleasant one. And if it's not going to be pleasant, honestly, not having that is better than having an unpleasant experience with the Quran. A bad teacher with bad akhlaq, teaching Quran is going to be counterproductive for sure. Another thing that needs to be done is that in those young ages, try to find effective ways of making a connection between the children and the stories of the Quran. There are very, very nice stories in the Quran that are very appealing. Just look at Surah An-Naml. It's an ant having a conversation with the leader of the ants, talking to his people or his nation. As the Quran says, all other creatures are umamun amthalukum. These are different nations. They're not human, they're a different species, but their nation. The leader speaks to the nation and says, you know, be careful. لا يحتمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون. If I got the wording completely right. Sulaiman and his army are passing by. Get back into your nests or whatever, in order that Sulaiman and his army don't kill you while they didn't even see you. They didn't realize you're there, just stomped on you and killed you. Sulaiman hears this. This story can be told in a very nice and appealing way for the teacher to learn that story with the lessons from it and tell the story in a way where those lessons can be understood by the child, not presented. You know, one of the beauties of a story is that by telling that story in the right way, the way the Quran tells it, you have so much material to learn from. The aspect of that story, because there's different ways of telling a story. Another observer, another person watching what happened there, the wording that they would use in telling that story of Sulaiman hearing that ant is going to be different than the way God talks about it in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story for our guidance. There's so much in it. A teacher that learns that, at least partially, because there's so much depth, it's difficult to get to, but try to get that story and the lessons for yourself. And then when you tell that story, make it nice, appealing for the children to hear, to listen to. And they're going to be coming and asking questions. We've experienced this. It's very effective. The story of the Hudhud, very famous, but if it's told right, again, as the story is told in the Quran with the details, whole idea of Sulaiman, his army, the different, the various species within his troops and his military. There's jinn, there's birds, there's God knows what else there. And then the confrontation between them and the other civilization in Yemen, the queen of Saba and her people, they were in Yemen, telling that story. It's very appealing. Very appealing. Instead of telling stories of, I don't know, Western stories. I'm not saying it's haram to tell Western stories. No, it's fine. Watch the cartoons, that's fine. But why is it only them that they hear? Why should it only be those stories that they hear in very nice ways? In the form of cartoons, in the form of series, in the form of movies, and all these different ways, these stories that are not divine, they're not for guidance, they have material in them that are actually counterproductive for the growth and progress of a person spiritually, mentally, psychologically. Okay, if they want to watch it, that's fine. No, pinpoint every now and then. Tell them the right part or the right way of viewing the world, give them the right world view, the right teachings, let them watch that as well, and they'll come to you, you know, this, that, the other, yeah, that's not right. Okay, they heard it, they heard both sides, they heard the wrong, and they heard that it is wrong, and then they heard that it's what the right thing is. But why not have the beautiful stories of the Quran? There's so many stories in the Quran. There's a story of a jinn coming to, you know, everybody loves jinn stories. The Quran tells us of a jinn story. Surah Jinn is a jinn story. Well, there's a lot of material there. The Ashab al-Kahf, that's a story. Dhul Qarnayn, there's a story there. Musa and Fir'aun is a story. Musa and Banu Israel is a story. Musa and his companion in Surah Kahf, that's a story. There's so many stories, beautiful stories in the Holy Quran. If we take these, if the adults learn these first, I'm afraid a lot of us are not familiar with these stories. Bits and pieces, will go learn it. Go learn those early ages. Instead of getting them, read this, learn this, alphabets this, that, the other, force them to sit there and they don't like it. Tell them stories. Stories of the Quran. tell them it's from the Quran, it's what God says, repeat that. And then on the side, provide an opportunity for them to learn the basics, not too much of a crash course, not too much material, not crammed up. A little session here and there with their friends, sit down, they have a little session, 30 minutes, then they get up, they play. But the stories, the meanings of the Quran, the form of stories in those early ages is very beneficial. It's very beneficial. Then there comes an age where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that child, if we don't push them away from Islam, if they don't develop a distaste and a dislike towards Islamic teachings by their early teens, okay, and they're just okay with it, or maybe they have a liking, the nights of Qadr, the nights that we stay up, let the children play. Allow them to play. That's their ihya, staying up and playing. That memory of theirs on those nights is going to be a very appealing memory. They remember good things about the month of Ramadan, the good food, these things are what the child remembers. If all they remember is that they were forced in the majlis, they had to sit down and listen, it's not going to be very appealing. Don't allow the child to develop this dislike towards us. If they don't have that dislike, they in their early teens, they start developing this want. Allah puts a little flavor of it. They have this, sometimes it's curiosity, sometimes it's more than that. It's appealing. Okay. It's spiritually appealing. Allah starts pulling hearts. At that point, there need to be sessions that assist those youth with the ability to read the Quran properly. This is where, without the force, now when they want to come, it needs to be available. I'm not seeing too much of that. Many of our adults don't know how to read the Quran properly. We know, inshallah, how to read, but properly, nice, with a nice voice, if we have that, if God has given us that. Otherwise, just in terms of the tajweed, many times it's not there. There need to be classes where those youth, when they want it, it's available in a very professional manner. Teach that young man or woman how to read the Quran properly, and they learn all the techniques, a little bit of practice, and they're on their own. They can read the Quran and they'll enjoy it. And they'll listen to various reciters. They'll try to imitate them. They'll enjoy it if they have the gift of a voice. They'll read it. And there's iman. They're just starting. They grew up in a mu'min family. There is iman. Now they're reading the Quran. The Prophet says, من قرأ القرآن وهو شاب مؤمن اختلط القرآن بلحمه ودمه. Don't push them in the early age. Provide opportunities if they're willing to, encourage them if they want to, take them there. Don't push them too much. That's not the age where they're going to master reading the Quran. They haven't even mastered reading their own mother tongue. The English is basically what all children here are raised with, even though they may come from a different background. But the language that they learn how to read and write, at those earlier ages, they haven't mastered the English language. How do we expect them to, on the side, learn a completely different language? That's not the age for it. Right? Don't push them. Yeah, provide, let them get familiar, hear a little something, that's fine. The meanings and the form of the stories, great. And the more creative you can be in delivering those stories, but with delivering the actual message of the Quran. Be careful with the details of that. But in terms of presentation and delivery skills, be creative with that, how you present that to the children. And then in the early teens, you need to have classes that allow for the youth that want to learn that. They can go and pick it up and learn it professionally, that is not there. And one last thing regarding that is that the teachers that want to work with the teens and teaching them have got to do a good job in working with teens as well. Again, they're teens. They're not adults. They're not in their 20s and 30s. They're not college students. They shouldn't be expected to sit in class the way. Don't expect that. Learn how you can. It's our job, our responsibility, if we want to take that on, instead of turning them away from Islam, we want to teach them how to read the Quran. It's our job to figure out how to teach them where they want to learn more. They like to come to that session. May Allah bless him. I don't know if he's still alive or not. Sayyid Beheshti, he came here in 2005, I believe. I was with him in one of the other masajid here in California. When I was 13 or 12 maybe. Yes, 12, I believe. I was 12 when he had these classes at IEC in Maryland, teaching people how to read Quran, and there was no age limit. And there were people like my age, and there were adults, there were people in their 30s, people that were immigrants and converts to Islam. All these different people were there, and he had this talent, mashallah, may Allah bless him for that. I think, helped a lot of people. It was a very interesting, very appealing, the way he presented it, the way he helped with practice. We have to develop those skills, those who want to be involved in this. We can't have people who are not teachers, who don't know how to teach, take on the great responsibility of helping our youth develop the skill of reading the Quran. It's very important to read the Quran. You have to wait for them to come. In their teens, that's the early age, that's what the Prophet says, وَشَابٌ مُؤْمِنٌ. In their teens, early, now 12, 13, some a little earlier, some a little later. It needs to be available that teaches them professionally in a way where they find it appealing. Lastly, we need to have, for everybody, but I think this will be more possible for the youth. We need to have Qur'an circles where we discuss the Qur'an. Discuss the Qur'an. Put a translation, a few translations, bring a couple of translations, a few translations. Mid-teens, late-teens, in their high school, middle school, whenever they want. But create that environment where we have such sessions. And then it's open at whatever age they feel they would like to join and listen and be part of it. Come bring a couple of translations, a tafsir, two tafsirs, compare them, discuss them, the meaning of the words, pull out a dictionary. It's very appealing to a person who has a little bit of interest in intellectual discussions. There's so much, it's so appealing. It's so appealing if it's done right, if it's an open discussion, if reason is the basis for accepting things. Everybody in that session is trying to look for that. And you have someone that leads that session, of course, that is, from what we have, the best person, because, you know, we don't always have, ideally we'd like to have the imam of our time. Well, we don't have him. We don't have that access. So we have to make do with what we have. The best person that we know in our community, the best people that we know in our community, that have good akhlaq, have a good understanding, they've studied the Qur'an a little more, let them be the central figure there, and then inshallah they will have the intention of really humbly trying to discuss this and saying that I don't know. All of us should say, I don't know. I should say, I don't know. This is what seems to be, this is what we understand from it. God knows though, based on these references, this is what it seems to be saying. But you think about it yourself. That type of approach, that will be very appealing for the youth. If we can have that in their high school years and college years, that'll be very, very effective in developing that
Quran in them, because that allows for further understanding. Qira'atul Quran, along with spending time collectively to try to do tadabbur, as the Quran says, reflect on it, then that's going to be a whole different level. We hope that Allah gives us the means to implement this. It's easier said than done, much easier said than done. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq of having a place that we can provide these services to the community, inshallah, and help our next generation in learning the Quran and developing it as part of their, as the Prophet said, it mixing with their flesh and blood, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all of us of this pandemic, relieve all believers of the hardships, difficulties, other illnesses that they may be facing as well. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa alih, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman.